Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, August 9th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 99, that first full paragraph beginning with, after they have seen tangible results, ending with, lest we pay the penalty by a spree. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are Yvonne A., who will be reading the text, Shelley E. will be reading page 164, and Lynette P. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Becca R., and announcements will be Betsy H. The reference ID number for yesterday, Tuesday, August 8th, 2023, is 20,515 or 20515, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,525 or 20525. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Letty G. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hello, this is Letty, gratefully recovered for today in Nevada. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will in our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for your service, and thank you for the opportunity, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Letty G. I will now ask Julie P. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. My name is Julie P., recovered compulsive overeater in northern Minnesota. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Julie P. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your shares to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 99, that very first paragraph, beginning with, after they have seen tangible results, and ending with, lest we pay the penalty by a spree. We are reading and commenting on only one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Yvonne A. to get us started and to begin reading.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Stephanie. I'm Yvonne A., recovered compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. After they have seen tangible results, the family will perhaps want to go along. These things will come to pass naturally and in good time, provided, however, the alcoholic continues to demonstrate that he can be sober, considerate, and helpful, regardless of what anyone says or does. Of course, we all fall much below this standard many times, but we must try to repair the damage immediately, lest we pay the penalty by a spree. Oh, there's quite a bit in that little paragraph. And I was blessed. So my experience with this and my family, and I don't have children, I have a husband, was exactly that, that as my husband started to see changes in me, he engaged in the process, and I was able to be pretty open with my husband about this program. He was supportive, and I started to notice changes in him as well. And so it's kind of been a journey together, even though he's not a compulsive overeater and doesn't have particularly else that needs to be addressed. It's just a great design for living that people can find peace and joy in. And so it is really important for me, though, to remember that I need to be able to be sober to do that. If I'm not abstinent, if I'm not working this program, I'm not going to be able to be considerate or helpful, especially if I feel like someone else is saying or doing something that's not what I want them to do, that makes me uncomfortable. I've realized that a lot of my reaction comes from being uncomfortable and not liking that feeling, feeling emotions that make me uncomfortable. I fall short of it on a regular basis. I find myself, you know, having that immediate response that I've had for, you know, 50 years already. And what I've learned is to pause. That precious, irreplaceable pause allows me not to either go into morbid reflection or self-loathing, or anger, self-righteousness, self-pity. Self-pity is a huge one for me. So when I can stop and just pause, and I mean, I've literally ran to my bedroom and to just take that pause quickly and said out loud, God, I need help. I need help right now. And when I can remember to do that, it can center me back, make me realize my part in things, and that I don't need to lash out, that the other person isn't trying to intentionally harm me, or if they are, hurt people hurt people, and they're a hurt person too. And boy, that last sentence, we must immediately repair the damage. I had such a hard time saying sorry for anything. Those words, it was like choking on poison for me to say I was sorry. Now I recognize my part. I say I'm sorry. I make the reparations because I will pay the penalty with a spree. And I don't want that to happen, whether that's a spree, meaning food, or some other behavior or substance. I want to avoid that at all costs. I hear my timer. So with that, I pass, and thank you for letting me to be of service this morning.
Well, thank you so much, Yvonne A. So now we're going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day, in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your shares to 3 minutes and allow time for as many people, so that we can allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. And so I'm gonna take this first lineup. If you could please give your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from, and who would like to share on this paragraph?
Lynette. Michelle F.
Wendy M.
I heard Linda, I heard Michelle S., I heard Wendy M.
That was Lynette, sorry, at the beginning.
Oh, not Linda, Lynette, sorry. And who else? I heard some more voices.
Julie
okay.
P.
Gotcha, Julie. All right, we'll start with this lineup. I've got Lynette, Michelle S., Wendy M., Julie P. If you could please give us, tell us where you're calling from, that would be great. And we'll start with Lynette S., followed by Michelle S.
Thank you, Stephanie. This is Lynette P. in Southern California. Good to be here. These are such good instructions for me. Even as someone who's not new, who's gone through the steps several times, workshops, retreats, I've learned from all of them, and of course this big book. You know, relationships, especially partnerships like marriage, are the most challenging. That's the most challenging area to practice my program and apply the principles. I've only been married 10 years, and I got married very late in life, and somehow I thought it was going to be perfect. I don't know why I thought that. I really didn't have the skills on my own, and I needed a lot of help. This book, fellows, outside resources, and they have helped immensely. My husband met me when I had already had a lot of recovery. My weight was down nearly 100 pounds, and after a while, he knew, he got it, how important this program was for me. Yet I did still need to demonstrate, and I continue to do so, that I'm abstinent, recovering, and helpful to him and others. And I don't want to let anything slide. I did that before, and that led me into a relapse, my last major relapse over 20 years ago. And that line, so prominent, and I can always apply that, is that last one that was already mentioned and read, we must try to repair the damage immediately lest we pay the penalty by a spree. my damage to my husband isn't old stuff, like when I was in the deep throes of compulsive overeating. He wasn't around then. My damage could be the result of my self-will from last week, yesterday, today, or by not speaking up and then carrying a resentment. And yesterday my husband said something that I didn't like. I took it personally and it hurt, even though I do my best not to take anything personally, but that can be hard. So I paused and I went to my higher power, who is my higher partner, and I prayed and I considered what to do or what to say. I just didn't want any buildup, but I felt like I needed to say something. And I wanted to get through this quickly and to move on in a healthy way. And so I approached him. I was honest about how I felt. I think it would have been dishonest had I said nothing. And he told me he wouldn't say that again. And that was it. And that brief conversation took care of it. And I could let it go without being accusatory or putting him on the defensive and having something bigger than it was. So, you know, whether I'm new or have been in the program for 48 years, I have, I continue to learn how to be in a healthy, loving relationship, and I am so happy about that. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Lynette P. from California. Next up, we have Michelle S., followed by Wendy M.
Thank you for your service. It's Michelle F. is in Foxtrot from Massachusetts. And what really stood out for me in this paragraph today was being sober, considerate, and helpful regardless of what anyone says or does. That's the crux. I mean, that's, I think, the whole point in a relationship is bringing what we can to the relationship. We always try and think of what we can get out of the relationship. And, you know, I have an older daughter who struggles with depression, and it's not easy. She lives at home with us and forgets to take her medication and drops out of therapy and goes through these cycles and then needs to be bailed out. And it's real easy to just, and my first reaction is always anger, because I feel manipulated. But she doesn't need to hear that. When she's that low, she needs help. And I need to say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to criticize you. And I go get her meds. You know, it's what I can do. And just be loving and supportive. Because I have depression myself, and what would I want? I'd want someone to be kind and help me out, you know, and I do. I fall below the standard many, many times. But I always feel better when I correct my own behavior, because now, you know, I have a pretty good conscience that says, ooh, that wasn't a very good thing to do, Michelle. You need to correct your, you know, your mistake. You need to make amends. And I guess that's all I really had to say. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle F. from Massachusetts. Next up, we have Wendy M., followed by Julie P.
Yeah, good morning, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Grateful for all of you to be here. Thank you, moderator. So here's what comes up for me. They've seen tangible results, and I continue to demonstrate. So what that means is I'm done with being sorry, right? I grew up my whole life, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, right? That was going to fit the bill. And you know what? People want to see a demonstration. People want to see that my actions have changed, right? That I'm a different person based on the actions that I take toward them, not what I say. What I say is meaningless. And I'm so grateful to learn that in this program. Like, it's such a relief to not be a sorry machine. You know, it's such a relief to know that it's my demonstration of my actions. And the other thing that came to mind for me, there are several things, is kind of how do I make amends? And for me, a lot of times, it is keeping my mouth shut. That's how I make the amends. Or, you know, I'm feeling lonely and wanting, and my son is going away in a month to college, don't you know? And so I was feeling needy. I was feeling wanting. And, you know, I just texted him, hey, what are you up to? Which is code for mom's, you know, feeling needy. And anyways, he wrote back that he's busy. And all I wrote were two words, enjoy yourself, right? Keep it to myself. If I've got to make a phone call to a fellow about that, that's what I do. That's how my amends really, really work. And then the last part here is, as somebody said, how can I give? You know, I woke up this morning, I was writing a two-way prayer to God, and I said, I'm lonely. My kid's leaving. I'm single, right? And so God's like, do you realize how many people I've already provided in your life? Like, take a look at the incredible amount of people. And even last night, because I'm like 4 days sober, 4 days without my ingredients. Thank you, God. And I was on the line, and I just like met 10 of my best friends, right? Like all these really amazing, cool people. And God's like, hello, I may not give you a boyfriend today, but I'm going to give you a boatload of cool people. And what a gift that is. And so today, what do I get to do? Call them and tell them that they're rock stars. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. And Julie P., you're up next.
Thank you for hearing my name. My name is Julie P. from Northern Minnesota. So very, very grateful to hear everybody's shares, to actually be listening. I am fairly new in recovery. I've been coming for a year and a half. And the last couple days for me have totally been ego-reducing. These have been some tough conversations and some tough meetings the last few days, especially if I'm willing to take a look at what my part is. I'm learning in recovery that it's easy when it's easy, and it's really hard and tough. I can be, looking at the words in this paragraph, I can be considerate and helpful to everybody in my world except my husband. I can be considerate and helpful to him on the days when he's considerate and helpful to me. But what about the days when he's not? I have a long way to go. I have lots of work to do. I can keep the food down. That's not a problem. That's come pretty easy to me. Thankful to my higher power, I'm totally food neutral. And the days that it's hard, my husband will say, why don't you just eat a frickin' cookie? And it's like, no, thank you. But I know that a year and a half into this thing called recovery, that it's not so much anymore. It's not about the I am really trying to work on my emotional sobriety, and I know that the only person that can do it is my higher power, because I am totally incapable of doing it on my own. And without listening to all of you folks and those that have come before, and the wisdom and the courage and the willingness, I just know I need to keep coming back, because it does get better in bits and fits and struggles. And am I being a piss lizard today? That's the word that I heard last week from my brother. Am I being a piss lizard today? And if I am, I really need to repair that damage immediately. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie P. And we're ready to take another lineup, but before we do, let me, if you just joined us recently, I'll let you know where we're at. We are on page 99, and we're in the first full paragraph, beginning with, after they have seen tangible results, ending with, lest we pay the penalty by spree. We were commenting on just one paragraph this morning, and please, if you'd like to share, let me know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
I'm L, California.
Gotcha, Tom.
Francine P, Illinois.
Was that Francine?
Yes, Francine P., Illinois.
Gotcha.
Barbara
Thank you so much,
E.,
Jesse.
New Jersey.
I've got you, Barbara. Who else would like to share?
Chanel T. in Washington State.
I've got you, Chanel. Thanks. We can probably take a couple more. Okay, we'll just go with that. I've got Tom L., Francine P., Barbara E., and Chanel T. And Tom, you're going to be up first, followed by Francine.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tom L. from California. A beautiful sunrise here on the West Coast. I felt moved to share today because this is, the big book is filled with these kind of things. Any circumstances. Now, I'm going to work. I'm a stressed out kind of guy, stressful job. And I can't remain calm, sober, good-natured, you know, full of love, channel of thy peace under any circumstances. It's asking me to do that. There are several places in this book which seem impossible. You know, that I need to, thoughts need to go with me constantly of asking for God's direction. I don't do that. Better men than we are praying constantly. I don't pray constantly. I have to surrender self-will, free of self-will. I can't even pray for myself. If I can't pray for myself, then trying to get stuff for myself is definitely off the table. I can't do that. It's perfection, perfection, perfection. You know what I do? I overeat. All these problems, I have overeaten, and I have a wonderful reaction to overeating. I load up on carbohydrates and fats. My face gets numb. I don't worry about, you know, the fact that I'm physically disabled or that people consider me a freak. I couldn't care less about them. That's what I do. How can I live sober and then say, oh yeah, you have to give up food and you have to be, you know, super chill no matter what anybody says or does? This is impossible. Yes, it is. But it's only compounding the impossible, giving up my alcoholic foods. I can't imagine living without my alcoholic foods. But as someone mentioned, I have food neutrality. Something inside of me has given me freedom from that. And it won't let me stop there. We feel a man is unthinking if what he says that sobriety is enough. We've found through bitter experience, I have found through multiple relapses, that sobriety, losing weight, healthy weight, looking good on the outside is not enough. I have to go further. And that means I need to develop a relationship with a higher power that allows the impossible. And there is something inside me where addiction is not a problem. Insults from other people, financial insecurity, health issues, marital problems, you know, all these things I could list. It's not a big deal. I use he because I'm a he, you know, part of me. So I guess he's a he. Allows me to aim towards perfection, and then the power flows. I can't explain it. I found it through just following this book, and then I can look at these passages where it's asking for the impossible and go, I can try that today. I can pray more, etc. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Tom L. from California. Next up, we've got Francine P., followed by Barbara E.
Hi, I'm Francine P. from Illinois, and I'm really enjoying this meeting and all of the comments and all of the sharing and all the reading. I had a situation yesterday where I was absolutely terrified. I was abstinent for a very long time, and then I relapsed, and I've been abstinent since May 10th, and I was at a work function yesterday, and they were going to be making food, and I was absolutely terrified. I called three people, and that morning I had said my meditations. I had said the abstinent prayer, And when they asked me if I wanted to eat any of it, I just said, I'm not hungry. It's not time for me to eat. And I'm so grateful that I remained abstinent. And then for the rest of the work function, another hour, there was a plate of the food right next to me. And it was on someone else's desk. And I didn't partake in it. And I'm so grateful.
I think we lost you, Francine. Somehow you're muted. We can't hear you. Francine, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Wanted to
say gotcha.
I worked on the tools, and I remained abstinent during that work function, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to this program and all of you. Thank you for listening. That's all I have.
Well, thank you so much, Francine P. from Illinois. Next up, we've got Barbara E., followed by Chanel T.
Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Barbara E., a recovering higher power. That's a joke, of course. A compulsive person, and just a compulsive person in general. I know that I can't speak for you, but I will always be in crisis at some point. And that's when I need to accept the help that I can get by working the tools and doing the steps and going to meetings and listening to all of you. Blaming circumstances and other people for my difficulties, including compulsive eating, is so counterproductive for me. I cannot control my external circumstances or even my husband or other people. But I can work on changing myself with the help of the meetings, my higher power, and you. In order to change, I first need to be aware of the attitudes and characteristics which always get me in trouble. I'm defiant. I'm argumentative. I react rather than respond. And if I do that consistently, I will go back to the food. I know I will, because I have this disease within me. And disease means, if you look at the prefix, it means disconnect, dishonest, disrespect, and ease is comfortable in my own skin. That's what I have to do, be comfortable in my own skin and not overeat and not demand that everything should go away. Go as I plan, because thinking I can rule the world is not good. Thinking is not a tool, and the first bite will send me to the last day. So I have to just pray, meditate, and be in gratitude. Gratitudes and laughter fuel my day, and being kinder and being more accepting to people in my life. Thank you for this beautiful meeting. Blessings to all of you. Have a beautiful day. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Barbara E. from New Jersey. Next, we have Chanel T. You're up. And Chanel, if you can hit star one to unmute, please.
Well, let's try that again. I was double muted. Thank you, everybody, for your patience. This is Chanel T. in Washington State, and I am a grateful compulsive eater living in recovery by the grace of God today. So this paragraph is a great reminder, isn't it? Trust God, clean house, and, of course, help others. Trust God, clean house, and, of course, help others. And where it says we all fall much below this standard many times. Well, I just did this last night. My daughter came, who is 16, came back from 5 weeks working out of state. And we had been doing really well together. And suddenly we weren't. And seeing my part in that, doing a 10th step is a very powerful experience because my part in it was actually quite large. And wanting to blame her, of course, that's my natural go-to, is that it's somebody else's fault and I'm the victim. And, and you know, she's my daughter. So really, I'm not a victim here. I'm not a victim, period. And I love, but we must try to repair the damage immediately lest we pay the penalty by a spree. It's a life or death proposition for me. If I go back in the food, that's death for me on several levels. I'm certainly not going to be better than it was the last time. It's a progressive disease. So it's not just having an argument with someone or not considerate or helpful. It's not just about abstinence. It's a way of life. It's a design for living. And I'm going to fail at times in this design for living. Probably during the day, I'll fail a few times, even if it's just in my thought life. I'm so grateful that I get to trust God and I get to clean house. I have fellows, I have a God squad I call who says, yeah, what about this part? Were you being dishonest in this? When I look at my character defense and I'm held accountable and in a grace-filled way. It's just amazing how it works. It's quite simple. I don't need to complicate it. And I'm astounded by the results. I'm astounded by the fact that today I can have a relationship with my daughter where she can tell me exactly how she's feeling and I won't fly through the roof usually. And that if I do fall, I do fail, I can make amends to her and continue to make a life amends. It's an incredible program. And that's all I have. Thank you. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Chanel T. from Washington. So we can take about 3 to 4 more people. Please let me know your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from. Who would like to share?
This is Babylonia. I'd like to share.
Mary Lee Radka.
We got you, Babylonia.
And Eugene.
One more time, that second person, Mary, was it Mary Lee?
Mary Lee R. in Oregon.
Mary Lee R. Gotcha.
Thank you.
Lauren A.
I gotcha, Lauren.
Thank you.
Danusha B.
Can you say that one more time?
Danusha B.
Is that Venusha?
T-H. Venusha? Yes.
Danusha. Gotcha. Okay. So we'll stop there. I've got Babylonia, Mary Lee R., Lauren A., and Danusha. And if you could let us know where you're calling from, that would be awesome. And we'll start with Babylonia, followed by Mary Lee.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, everyone, for your service and for your shares. I'm having a great morning. I'm walking by the ocean, and this program, the best thing that it's ever taught me, well, it's taught me a lot of things, but the best thing that it's taught me is to stay in gratitude at all times. I've gotten through difficult things with the power of gratitude, and that's helped me realize that my joy doesn't depend on circumstances, but on God. And so this morning I woke up, I was a little bit funky because I had to wake up early and go to the gym, and I was like, I need coffee. And I realized that it was this, like, addiction to negative thinking that if I just changed it to gratitude, then I would be filled up inside and I wouldn't feel the need for coffee because I filled myself up with gratitude. So I did my gratitude journal. I came up with, like, a million things to be grateful for, and I couldn't stop. And I read some passage from a book about gratitude. It was awesome. So thank you to this program. Thank you to this meeting. Thank you, everyone, for keeping me abstinent. Have a wonderful day.
And Babylonia, where are you calling from? Okay, that's okay. Thank you so much for sharing. And then Next up, we have Mary Lee R., followed by Lauren A.
Good morning, peoples. This is Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon, and it's such a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I'm getting ready to teach a Reiki 2 class this afternoon, and I'm batch cooking this morning, and all I can think of is the blessing of being able to practice gratitude and appreciation. And to hear people that I have heard over the years talk about real things and how they what they go to and how Divine Director just keeps guiding. And I just wanted to check in, and I just feel so blessed. And that's it for me this morning. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mary Lee from Oregon. Next, we have Lauren A., followed by Tanisha.
Hi, this is Lauren A. in northern Minnesota. Thank you for hearing me and for chairing the meeting this morning. I appreciate it. You know, we go through quite a few things about family in this section and in other sections, and I think there's a good reason for it is because, for me anyway, family's pretty much the most difficult group to deal with. So I'm really grateful that that there are a lot of directions and that I can kind of look at myself and see how many ways I've done things not so well in the past and how I can do better in the future, like the part about we must try to repair the damage immediately. And things will come to pass naturally in good time. I tend to want to push the river, force things to happen. And I have to learn patience has been a big part of my recovery, is to be patient with myself and with other people. So I'm having a good day. I've been doing a lot better with food lately, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm very grateful for this meeting and for what recovery is bringing in my life. It's making it a lot better than it ever was. I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Lauren A. And next we have Tanisha.
Hi, good morning. It's Tanisha. I am so very thankful to be on this meeting this morning. I just finished my prayers about how difficult it was with my husband. Just within myself, I'd been very moody and not seeing him in a way that was helpful. And I also realized as I pray that I tend to say too much to my little kids, and I think it just puts a burden on them. I feel too free to just say as I need to with what I think and what I think they should do and not be doing, and I need to filter that more and pause more, even with the little ones. You know, just coming on the meeting just reminds me, I am super thankful to be reminded that, for one, when I pray about my challenges or even my discomforts, my higher power seems to always show up for me. And the second solution that I find is, because sometimes I don't know what to do, that once I start sharing on a meeting or sharing with my fellows, that's when I can start moving toward the solution, because I don't know the solution to these things. There are some habits that I just fall back on, and I'm just thankful that I can live in the solution today compared to the past, where I would just be numbed out from these things and would just stay in this secret place and keep a guilt and probably eat. And today I get to live. Although it is hard, I get to live, and I get to live in the solution. Thank you, Elpath. And that's Venusia from California.
Thank you so much, Anusha from California. And we have time for probably one more 3-minute share. Who would like to close us out? Who would like to take these last 3 minutes?
What page was that again?
I will.
We're on page 99, and we're in the first full paragraph. And who was it who said, I will?
My name is Marilyn. I'm from California.
All right, Marilyn from California. Go for it.
Well, my name is Marilyn. I am a compulsive overeater, and I've been going through an extremely stressful time in my life, and it ramped up even more past 2 weeks. And talking about amends, I had somebody do something to me, lied about me, and said something that was untrue about me. And it's one of those things that you can't unring the bell. So I'm having to sit with it, and I'm very uncomfortable in it, and asking what was my part. And boy, that's not easy when you've done something. I mean, when something's been done to you, you know, because it makes you feel arrogant, like I shouldn't have to, and all those things that go through my head. But I am asking before and now, what was my part? And I believe that what happened was as a result of this disease in other people as well as me. And I'm grateful that I have a higher power. I'm grateful that my higher power loves me no matter what. And I have to remember that the other person can have that too. I don't know how to solve this, and I don't know how to get back to who I was before this was said in myself. I just will turn that over to my higher power. And, you know, if I owe an amends, I will make an amends. And I guess I just have to sit with it. And sometimes that's what you got to do. And I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Marilyn from California. All right. Looks like we're right at time. So we will close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Shelley E., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
You bet. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for allowing me to serve us.